Hey everybody, it's Matt with Time, and welcome back to our second podcast. We're excited to be back, and news this week, we kind of wanted to cover a couple of articles circulating the web. Don't know if you've seen them, but Sean Parker, the founder of Napster, and then eventually the president of Facebook, is trying to create, I don't know how would you explain it, it's a video application.
It's a first-run movie service, which means that you can watch a movie in your home the same day it's released in a theater.
Yeah, and I, to me, so for those of you that maybe this is kind of new, there's another service called Prima Cinema. And the idea with Prima Cinema is that, you know, you get to watch the movie the same day it comes out in the theaters, but it was sort of for kind of high-profile people. It was $35,000 for the hardware, if I'm understanding right, and then $500 a movie. Cool service, but, you know, not something that most of us are able to use. What Sean Parker is doing, as I understand it, is that you'd have a set-top box that's $150, $200, and then you'd get to watch the movie one time for $50 when it's first released. So you can download it and, you know, enjoy it in your own home without having to go to the movies.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fascinating. It's like you said, they've got services like this already. If you live in Hollywood or have connections to any of the major studios, you might have a private screening room, and the studio will literally send a projectionist to your house to play a current theatrical release in your private theater for some of the A-list stars that don't want to have to go to the theater to watch the latest blockbusters. Of course, that's expensive for the studios. And that's when they, you know, Prima Cinema brought that out for us mere mortals. But like you said, $500 a pop, it still hurts, and especially with the hardware cost being $35,000.
Oh, yeah.
But it was fantastic. I mean, it's been a popular service. People liked it. You know, a lot of people rationalized they were into it, you know, $100 to $200 by the time they took a small family to a movie and bought popcorn. So it had an audience, but it was a little bit prohibitive because, you know, you had to be able to shell out the money for the equipment. It involved a FBI level background check and a thumb scanner.
I was gonna say, there's a thumb scanner to watch your movie, right?
Yeah, you have to have a thumb scanner. So if dad's not home, you can't watch a movie. Of course, if you're paying $500, he probably doesn't want the kids hitting rent anyways. But it was a great service. It was better than DVD or better than Blu-ray quality. And, you know, the demos I all saw were a lot of fun. But it didn't hit the mid-market. It didn't hit the mass market, and that was the issue.
Well, I was talking to my wife about it this morning, and I asked her thoughts on it. She had the same reaction I did. You know, $50 a pop, it costs us more than $50 to take our whole family to the movies today. And that's before we start buying popcorn or anything else. And so, you know, I like it. I hope that Sean Parker is able to pull it off. Now, I know one distinction is that Disney is one of the studios that probably won't be included in those services. And when you consider Marvel and some of the other, you know, companies there, that's a pretty big chunk of movies. But and you were saying something about kind of what you think helped lead to this.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. The studios have wanted to do this. But now they've got the data to really push it. And I think one of the things is The Interview, the famous Sony movie that led to the infamous Sony hack, where Sony Studios was hacked and all the information was released to the public, and even death threats, leading up to the release of the movie The Interview, which made fun of North Korea. And, so as you might remember, the movie was pulled from the theaters. Nobody wanted to show it. They all got, you know, cold feet because of the death threats. And so Sony released it online instead. And it was an online release for a major blockbuster. And it was kind of an industry first.
Well, in my understanding is that it was kind of a first run like this, but they killed it for digital sales online. They dominated.
They absolutely did. The movie actually did 1.8 million opening weekend at the box office, 1 million opening day, which wasn't bad for a limited release because it was only in about 300 theaters. But in the digital rentals, it did 15 million in the first 4 days.
That's nuts.
And overall, I think the split was about 40 million to 11 million rentals versus box office. So it showed that people were willing to rent and pay extra to rent a first release movie and get a first glimpse at it.
Well, fascinating at the least to see where that's going to go. Be sure, we'd love to hear your thoughts on this in the comment section. We'll post this on the page after the podcast and love to hear from you. You know, if you think you'd be willing to pay $50 a pop to have first-run movies in your own cinema at your house, what your thoughts are on it. And kind of segueing from that, one of the things we wanted to talk about today is 4K and 4K Blu-rays. You know, that's one of the questions, you know, surprise, what was it, 2 years ago we went to CES and saw the first batch of 4K movies and displays. And for me, I'm always kind of more of the audio guy of our group. I notice a difference in audio, but you and Brad and Scott, it's the video that you guys seem to notice. And you guys can go to a movie and point out to me how impressive the video is, and I just don't see it. And that's why 4K, to me, impressed me so much, because it's one of the first times where I really did see the difference between 4K and high def. So when people ask me if it's really that much better, I think it's sensational how it looks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. People ask all the time, and maybe not as much as they used to because they've seen it themselves more now, but people always ask, is 4K really different? Is it worth it? And for the little difference you pay in price to future-proof, have the latest technology, it's worth it right there. But then when you view 4K and you watch a 4K TV and realize how much crisper and cleaner the content looks, it's really hard to go back.
And do you feel, so one of the questions we get is do we buy 4K, you know, if I'm a customer, do I buy 4K today or do I wait a couple of years? Is it worth buying 4K now or am I better off to wait?
Well, there's a couple things that make up 4K. So for those of you that don't know, 4K refers to the resolution of the TV, 4K or ultra high def. And basically, it's four times the resolution of high-def TV as we now know it, or 1080p. So it's nearly 4,000 lines of resolution. And that portion of 4K has been available for years, and it's exciting. But there's two other portions of 4K, something called HDCP, and that's the encryption. And the newest encryption is now finally out and available on all new TVs. Which means that you'll be able to watch any of the 4K content. To dumb that down, that just means that, yes, the 4K TVs we have now are standardized, they are future-proofed, and they're going to work with anything you buy in the future.
Yes, yeah, so you don't have to worry about replacing your 4K TV in a year because it can't play the Blu-ray.
Yeah, exactly. So the new TVs have got the great standards. That was the holdup people had. It's they knew the standards were being finalized. Now that the standards are here, there's not a better time to enjoy it, especially with the release of some of the new 4K content and services, and the user experience is pretty dramatic.
You want to just real fast, we're going to talk about that, but before we kind of move on to that, the color spectrum in the 4K, kind of dumb it down and simplify it, but that's something that's really unique, is that, as I understand it, we're able to see a larger spectrum of the color with 4K than we've ever been able to see before, and that's why it looks so amazing.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's one of the things that I think people like the most about 4K. They might not be able to put their finger on it, but when they see a TV, they notice right away that it's different, and it's because the colors are better. We're used to going in and seeing a TV at the local department store where they've turned up the colors and tried to make it look bright and vibrant. But when you really look at it, the reds don't look right. It looks like someone turned up the orange or the yellow to try and make the reds pop. And same with the most dominant colors, the blues and the greens. Things don't quite look right. They look fake. And with the 4K TVs, they actually support a broader color gamut. So the human eye can see, you know, a certain number of colors. And standard TVs that, as we've known them for high def, showed a very limited number of those colors. The newer 4K TVs are more capable of displaying the colors as we see them. And so that now when you go and see a TV and you look at it, those reds look like reds and the blues look like blues and greens look like greens, even when they're bright and vibrant, they look right. It doesn't look blurred out or washed out or oversaturated. And it's a very fun thing because it seems very natural and you just relax and get into the show and just enjoy it.
Yeah, one of the things that I remember, and you hear people talk about it, and if you get a chance to go see a good 4K demo, one of the things you notice is it almost looks three-dimensional. Like you could reach out and touch it even though it's not 3D. And I know that has a lot to do with what we're talking about, the color and the contrast. But, you know, get out and make sure you see a good 4K demo. And I would recommend to you, find an excuse to go into more of a home theater demo, a home theater showroom, as opposed to maybe your local big chain store. Nothing against them, but your local dealers are going to have everything set up to really show off how spectacular the 4K really is. And I think you'll get a great demo there. You know, one of the obvious questions is the content. And, you know, the content hasn't been there as well, but it's really starting to roll out now. You were telling me about the Blu-rays earlier today.
Well, yeah, so as of, up until this month, we've been limited to some streaming content from Netflix, Amazon, and YouTube, and it's been fantastic, but it's highly compressed, and so sometimes you'll notice still some of those digital artifacts and things. And, of course, 4K TVs up-res, so your old movies look great because they can play it in 4K. But finally, we have the ultra-high-def Blu-rays have been released, and the Samsung player is out that'll play those. And as of March 1st, they've started shipping the actual ultra-high-def Blu-ray titles. And the reviews are off the chart.
Yeah, I mean, you were saying, and this is kind of important, if you're out there and you're looking at, you know, Blu-ray reviews on, say, Amazon, and we've actually got a link on the notes online. There'll be a link for, I think there's 23 titles that are out right now that are in 4K, and then a link to Samsung's Blu-ray player if you're looking for a place to find it. To link to their site on Amazon. But on the reviews, don't be deceived. If there's a poor review on the Blu-ray, if you click into it, what you were saying, Greg, is that most of the time the video and the audio's got 4 to 5 stars. It's something about like the special edition features or really unrelated to the video and the audio that's getting knocked.
Yeah, exactly. You know, as I go through and look at all the at Blu-ray.com, /4K, they've got some great reviews of all the content. And as you go through and open each one, you'll notice that the audio is almost always, you know, got a 5-star, and the video's got a 4 to 5-star because the content is just fantastic. And then there might be a poor rating on extra features and menu features and things like that that don't really pertain to the 4K content. But the reviews on the 4K content are just, people are really excited.
So a question I've got on the 4K, the Blu-rays, and something for you guys out there that are sort of audio guys. One of the things people don't realize is that when we talk about compressing a video to send it to you over the internet, you know, say like Netflix or Hulu, we're not just compressing the video, we're also compressing the audio. And so you're getting not the full quality of audio as well. I would assume that with the 4K Blu-rays, the same is true. We're getting the full res audio in addition to the 4K.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of movies that we stream, and it's a lot of fun. We all do it. But you're losing video quality and audio quality. A lot of them don't even get you surround sound. You're just watching your movie in stereo. And with a Blu-ray, especially an ultra-high def, you're getting the full, a much less compressed version of the movie. And so as you watch it, you won't see any of those artifacts. You'll get a lot better colors coming through. And then with the audio, that's when you can get the full audio experience. It's high res, high definition, basically audio that sounds just fantastic.
Well, as you can probably tell, we're super excited about some of the 4K content that's coming out, the Blu-ray players. If you're somebody who's out there that's just picked up the new Samsung Blu-ray or one of the Ultra HD Blu-ray discs, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us what you think about it. If you like the picture quality, if you feel like it's enhanced the movie experience for you, we'd love to hear your feedback and hear any thoughts you want to share with us on the show. And that's it for today. Well, one quick note. We've talked a lot about Blu-rays, but certainly there's a lot of other things coming. Of course, Netflix, Amazon, they've all got some solutions to deliver you 4K content. You know, the Roku is supposed to be one of the best 4K servers on the market right now. Again, those are going to come to you compressed a little bit, but lots of solutions. And then a number of your channel providers like DirecTV, Dish Network are all starting to offer 4K as well. So lots of content coming your way. And I think you'll love it. If you have a chance to buy a new TV, I think it's a no-brainer. Get yourself a 4K TV, you know, and start enjoying that as it comes out. So thanks for joining us, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next week.